Thanks, 10-4.
You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether. You're tuned to This Week in Radio News. I'm Tom Rowe in the Wave Farm Study Center in upstate New York. Communications Law blog reports about the deadlines for commercial AM radio stations to file for an FM translator, putting their signal on both formats. This is the main part of the Federal Communication Commission's plan to save AM radio by putting it on FM radio. It'll be one of the biggest stories in radio news in 2016 as many AM stations migrate to also having FM signals. AM licensees can acquire and relocate translator stations up to 250 miles away from their current studio. The first modification window is for licensees or permittees of Class C or D AM stations from January 29th to July 28th. Then any AM station is eligible in the second window, July 29th through October 31st, Halloween 2016. More info is at the FCC's website with a link at the Wavefarm Newsroom. The latest debate among candidates for the Democratic nomination for president was held the Saturday night before Christmas, and so virtually no one saw or heard much beside the headlines that Hillary Clinton was calling for a Manhattan Project among tech giants about encryption to prevent terrorists from sending secret messages over the internet.
I would hope that given the extraordinary capacities that the tech community has and the legitimate needs and questions from law enforcement, that there could be a Manhattan-like project, something that would bring the government and the tech communities together to see they're not adversaries. They've got to be partners. It doesn't do anybody any good if terrorists can move toward encrypted communication that no law enforcement agency can break into before or after. There must be some way. I don't know enough about the technology, Martha, to be able to say what it is, but I have a lot of confidence in our tech experts. And maybe the back door is the wrong door, and I understand what Apple and others are saying about that. But I also understand when a law enforcement official charged with the responsibility of preventing attacks, to go back to our early questions, how do we prevent attacks? Well, if we can't know what someone is planning, we are going to have to rely on the neighbor or, you know, the member of the mosque or the teacher, somebody to see something. I just think there's got to be a way, and I would hope that our tech companies would work with government to figure that out. Otherwise, law enforcement is blind. Blind before, blind during, and unfortunately in many instances, blind after. So we always have to balance liberty and security, privacy and safety. But I know that law enforcement needs the tools to keep us safe, and that's what I hope there can be some understanding and cooperation to achieve.
While Clinton's call for a Manhattan Project may have got the headlines, the more telling line may have been, quote, "I don't really know," unquote, as it seems like she realizes that while she wants to demagogue as a candidate, smart voters know that encryption is what keeps your online credit card purchases safe. Clearly, listening to her statement, the woman who may be the next president does not have the magical answer to resolve the debate between privacy and public safety, but hopes that someone in Silicon Valley does. President Obama signed the 2,000-page omnibus budget bill last week that the Republican-led Congress passed, and there is good and bad in it for everyone. Moreover, the bill shows how behind-the-scenes action in Washington, D.C. gets done, and how lobbyists can be effective in such a game system. Privacy advocates spent the years since 2001 trying to win back freedoms the Patriot Act and other expansions of the surveillance state took away. All that work went up in smoke in a back room in Congress last week. The leaders of the House and Senate bargained behind the scenes, picking and choosing the parts of the bills that had passed each legislative body and crafting them into a gigantic Frankenstein bill with the help of lobbyists that the president has to sign or the government shuts down. So those legislative leaders rewrote the Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act, turning a bill that was returning rights to citizens into legislation that allows the state to peek a little more into your cell phone, Depending on your point of view, that's either good news or bad news. It is probably the opposite news that the attempts to undercut the Federal Communication Commission's open internet order, or net neutrality, were left out of this spending bill, even though Republicans in Congress threatened to include it. The courts, though, still have plenty of opportunity to gut that measure to level the internet playing field. The Los Angeles Times reported December 17th that the Air Force is now taking enlisted personnel as drone pilots for the first time because they need so many soldiers to fly the drones. Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance, or ISR, is the military's growing sector. Quote, if you talk to combat commanders around the world, which I do regularly, and ask them, what is the one more thing you need from the Air Force? They will always reply, I want more ISR. Unquote, said Air Force Secretary Deborah Lee James. Enlisted personnel are only handling surveillance so far, not firing missiles and killing targets from remote control. Officers, for now, will be the only ones operating MQ-1 Predator and MQ-9 Reaper drones. Quote, in fiscal year 2014, the most recent data available, the Air Force trained 180 drone pilots and 240 veterans left the field, unquote, the Los Angeles Times reported. David Oxenfurt in the Broadcast Law blog reports that the Copyright Royalty Board announced December 16th that the royalty rates for anyone to play sound recordings on the internet for public listening fell by a third, the first lowering of fees ever. Commercial webcasters, and that includes radio stations simulcasting their FM signals, will pay 0.0017 cents as the per performance, the rate paid per song per listener, starting January 1st. David Oxenfurt explained the royalty rates in an interview December 22nd with Triton Digital.
Sound Exchange, who's the party that actually collects the money paid for these royalties, would love to get a royalty from broadcasters who are playing over the air, but so far hasn't passed it through Congress. So this is just digital performances, online internet radio. Now, it's important to recognize, because I think a couple of the trade press reports last week got this wrong, but this does, in fact, cover simulcasts. So if you take your over-the-air stream and simulcast it onto the internet so that people can pick it up on their mobile devices or listen to your over-the-air programming on their computers or on their smartphones, that is covered by this royalty, and some of the trade press for some reason seemed to think that it was not. So the 0.0017 cents per song per listener is a royalty that will be paid by broadcasters starting on January 1. And one thing that this royalty does not apply to is interactive webcasters. So for those, or interactive digital music services, so those services where the listener can in fact choose what the next song he or she's going to hear is, or where they can set up playlists where there's a limited number of songs that they'll hear over and over again, maybe not even in the same order, but where they can pick the songs that are included in their playlist, the kinds of services that are offered by Spotify or Apple Music or Rhapsody. Those kinds of services are not covered by this royalty. They have to go out and negotiate their own direct deals to get the rights to use the sound recordings.
That was David Oxenfurt of the Broadcast Law blog explaining the new Copyright Royalty Board rates that start January 1st. We're going to tune in some of 2015's best songs about radio waves. On This Week in Radio News, here's Elvis Perkins' AM about those AM radio frequencies.
Perfect figures wave.
In 2015, Holly Herndon was hearing interference. This is Holly Herndon. Circuit de You had a dream of TV in 2015. our survey of songs about radio waves. Finally, Wire takes us out with blogging. You've been hearing songs about radio waves from 2015. We heard from Wire, Circuit de U, Holly Herndon, Elvis Perkins, and William Baczynski. The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.